are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball!
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the Locker Room app from the iOS App Store and find one of our Locked On rooms. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me on Twitter at Kuka Hill NBA. You can find me over at Detroit Bad Boys writing articles about the Pistons. You can find me on YouTube at Kuz Ballroom. And like I tell you guys at the beginning of every podcast, out of credential media member for the 2019-2020 season, that kind of makes me a big deal. Starting up this podcast, I kind of gave you guys a preview of what was going to happen on this podcast today. I told you guys yesterday we were going to have Dialed in Detroit on here. We have one of the members, I believe Dialed in Detroit. I always confuse this. I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, there's four of you guys that run Dialed in Detroit, correct?
So, yeah, there's four of us who originally ran it. It kind of dwindled down to two. And then, unfortunately for the rest of the crew, I'm the only one who runs it today. So they don't really get their opinion out there as much as I do, because we're honestly split about this, the topic we're getting into. We're actually kind of split down the middle on how we feel about them. So I just happen to be the guy who has the account. So.
Okay. So the person we have on here today is Drew. He's the one that if you were active on Twitter, and like I told you guys on yesterday's podcast to give you guys a background, was at the center of the Killian Hayes drama with all of us. So I told him that I'd give him a chance to defend himself and represent his side, because he felt like he was being somewhat misrepresented, put words in his mouth, etc. So I wanted to give him his chance to say what he wanted to say. But before we get into that, I want to make sure I lay the framework for him, for our side, because I know I've had a couple of you guys reach out to me and say, make sure you lay this out, make sure you communicate this to him before he gets what he has to say out. So this is what basically we're going to spend the podcast talking about. And it's about Killian Hayes. If you guys didn't listen to the last podcast, I probably should have told you guys that. This is about Killian Hayes and our thoughts on Killian and the way to analyze Killian, and just it's all about Killian right here. So if you guys missed what happened on Twitter and the whole drama going on, make sure, I would advise you guys to go back right now and listen to yesterday's podcast, the first 8 or so minutes, and then you get a good background. So that's, and then you'll understand what we're doing here. But first, before we even do that, this is what I want to say. So the problem that we all have had with Dialed in Detroit, and I guess Drew, since he's the one who runs the account, is the fact we feel like that he's not being very fair with Killian. His analysis isn't really on point with Killian, and we feel like he's holding him to a standard that just doesn't really make sense. And I'm going to go back to a tweet, because I don't want to put words in his mouth. I'm going to go back to a tweet that I believe started all. It happened on April 17th. Dialed in Detroit tweeted, "Look at 95% of the good to great point guards in the league today. As rookies, they were already performing at a high level. Dame, Kyrie, Steph, Luka, Simmons, Westbrook, Ja, Trey, Chris Paul, etc. all put up numbers in year one. I just don't get why y'all convinced Killian is the outlier." Now, I had my own take against this. I quoted them and said my piece about this, how he's only played so many, like 22, 23 games. It doesn't really matter. It's a rookie season. There's plenty of people who have struggled their rookie season, ended up being good players. So that's where I believe all this has really started. And if you go even further, I want to make sure I lay this out so everyone knows what we're saying and where this is coming from. I don't want this to want anyone to feel like I'm misrepresenting them or painting them out a different type of way. In the replies, one of my friends and one of the people that listen to the show, I do Locker Room with him a lot, Don, he says, "Jason Kidd as a 21-year-old wasn't the greatest rookie either. Through his first 12 games, he was averaging 35 minutes, 9, 6, and 6 with 2 steals on 34, 14, and 73 splits. And Dialed in Detroit, which responded, still better than Killian." So our biggest issue with Dialed in Detroit, and I guess Drew, since Drew's the one, he said he's the one mainly running the account, is the fact that we feel like that he's misrepresented not really analyzing Killian correctly. And it's just putting him to a standard that just isn't really fair. And no matter what Killian does, if he isn't performing at like a superstar level already, apparently he's a bust already. That's basically what all of us feel like. And I feel like that we all feel like that is like completely ignoring all context, and really it's not fair at all to Killian, who's only played 23 games. So from here on out, I let Drew defend himself and defend down to Detroit. And if he feels like anyone said something that we that he didn't say, the floor is yours, basically. Here you go. You have the rest of the rest of the segment.
All right. So first of all, I want to start off with the positives because there are positives. And I know no one ever sees that, but there are things that even I like, the biggest hater out there, I really do like in Killian Hayes' game. He's obviously a phenomenal passer. I don't think anyone can dispute that. Vision ahead of his time. He's 19. The way he sees the floor is impressive to say the least. And I really honestly think, I truly think he's going to be an average to good starting point guard in the NBA. I really do at some point. I don't think that's going to be in the next 3 years. I think it's going to take time, but I think he will get there. And as I said earlier, I'm not really fully representing Dialed in Detroit's opinions because I got my brother who's in the same room as me right now. He loves Killian. We go back and forth about it all the time. So I just want to make sure that's clear too. But what I will say, you can go back to the Chauncey Billups Allen Iverson trade. And from that day, we have not had a franchise point guard in Detroit. And I guess where my frustration comes from is I feel like a lot of people are sold that that's Killian Hayes. I feel like a lot of people think that that's him. And I'm not sold yet. He's the third best rookie on the team, which is, I mean, that's Troy Weaver's work right there. He's done a phenomenal job. I'm not saying Killian's a bad rookie by any means, but even looking to the draft, you know, if Cade Cunningham's if the Pistons get lucky in the lottery and Cade Cunningham falls in our lap, Killian Hayes probably isn't going to be the starting point guard next year. So I see where you guys are coming from. I see the flashes. I mean, last night he played phenomenal. And we started to see, you know, that aggressiveness we were talking about. I know I said X factor, but so I see the flashes that you see. I'm aware of it, but I just am not sold. And I know it's early, but there's just some things like, you know, he's going to get better at shooting. He is, but he's never going to be a great shooter. He's never going to be the quickest guy. He's going to improve in every aspect. He's a good defender. But at the end of the day, he's not that explosive. He really doesn't use his right hand at all. That was a criticism going into the draft of his. There's just some things that I see in his game that just doesn't translate to a franchise point guard. And I know a lot of people are okay with that. A lot of people say if he's Mike Conley, if he's even Ricky Rubio, I know I made that flippant remark yesterday. That was a little unfair of me, but like people are okay with that. And that's where it's just different for me. I'm sick and tired of eight seed, nine seed. And I know we're in the full rebuild now, which is great. And it's clearly headed in the right direction. But in this league, you either got to have a great point guard or you got to have a top 10 player if you want to compete for championships. And I don't think Killian Hayes is going to be a top 10 point guard at any point. And I really hope I'm wrong. I really do. Like I know you guys think that I'm rooting against him. I'm really not. And it's early and he definitely can prove me wrong. And I hope I look like a fool. I hope we can go back to this and I look like an absolute fool. But there's just some parts of his game that I see, starting with the lack of explosiveness, not a good shooter, which can improve, but I just don't see it getting to the point where he is considered a top 10 point guard in the league.
All right. Well, at this point, I'll ask you this. I know you only wanted to stay on for, you originally wanted to stay on just for one segment. Would you be willing to stay on for another segment right real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So we'll be right back with it. We'll go back and forth a little bit after what he just said. But first, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. This app is free to download. And once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team and sport. Locker Room is the best place to engage in conversation and debate about whatever sports subject you're thinking about. Like I tell you guys all the time, I'm always in Locker Room Monday, Thursdays, and Saturday in a room with Duncan Smith. It's a lot of fun. You guys really should go download it. You can talk about any sport. We usually start talking about the Pistons, but then it just ranges all over the place. We do a little trivia as well. It's just a real fun app to do and talk sports with everybody. So go download the Locker Room app now. Currently available on all iOS devices, and I believe it's also available now on Android. It was limited at first, but I believe it's available now on Android. So make sure you guys go download that. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NBA group for the latest league updates. I know you will find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams and leagues. I can't wait to join you all on the app. I'll be sure to let you know once the Locked On Pistons Room is live. Download the Locker Room app today. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Okay, we're here with Dialed in Detroit. We are going to continue this back and forth real quick for a second segment. We'll probably let him go after this. But he just got done talking about how he feels about Killian, and I'm going to go ahead and give my rebuttal to this. So this, I think this is where all of the concerns – this is what I want to make clear. I don't think me – well, I know some people are, but I'm not proclaiming that Killian is guaranteed to be great. I'm also not proclaiming that he's guaranteed to be a bust, and I'm also not proclaiming that he's guaranteed to be anything because I just don't know. He's only played 22 games. And I feel like that's where the biggest hang-up is with everybody when it comes to your takes on Killian, is that it's literally impossible – I don't care what like anyone says, it's quite literally impossible to know anything about a player that drafted that high after 22 games, especially when it seems like, which has been reported, that he was playing injured, basically. He was playing hurt to start the season through the first 7 games that he played, and he missed 3 months of the season. So there's no way that any of us know what his conclusion is going to be, what his career is going to be, what he'll end up being. And I kind of hit on this last podcast, but in my opinion, the way, if you're in this business and what you're trying and what we're trying to do here, what we should be doing is pointing out, okay, I can see the things that could make him really good. I can see the things why people, I can see the flashes that make people believe he can be really good. But then also here you go, here are some of the hangups that could stop him from being real good, and to discuss both those things. I feel like a lot of people feel like you guys do not discuss the parts that show the flashes that people see that make okay. Actually, let me say this: to start the season, I was kind of more on your guys' side. I was really discouraged, and while I was seeing from Ken, I didn't want to make any final conclusions, but I was getting discouraged. But when he came back and the way he's played, I've made sure to talk about, okay, I can see what people are why people are so high on him. I can see why people liked him so much. I can see the things there that can make him into a really, really good player. But then I also acknowledge, yeah, but even with that, he's going to have to get better at this, this, and this. And I feel like people don't feel like you guys pay attention. To the other part, you guys only pay attention to the part that's, he can't do this, he can't do this, he can't do this, he sucks, he sucks, he sucks, he's Ricky Rubio, which I think really set people off when you guys compared him to Ricky Rubio, because I believe a lot of us believe that if he wasn't from overseas, Ricky Rubio wouldn't be the comparison that would be made on him. And the last thing I'll say, and I'll let you respond, is you kind of mentioned it, you quoted one of my tweets and you mentioned he doesn't have the X factor that franchise point guards have. And I just feel like this is the problem that I believe me and many people have had with that comment. And it's that, so for example, like literally the same day you made that comment and the same day you're talking about how you can't be aggressive, he goes out and scores 21 points and is playing ultra aggressive. So it's 100% a thing that you can easily, just like shooting, like how you mentioned earlier, oh, he can get better at shooting, but he 100% can get better at being more aggressive. He's only in game 22 and he's 19. So like to point that out as something that why you don't believe he could be really good, I think a lot of people look at as foolhardy because he's only 22. He's only 19. He's played 22 games. He hasn't even played an NBA season yet. So he has a ton of time and a ton of future to develop being more aggressive or realizing coming off the pick and roll, I can't always be looking to pass. I have to look to score, which I feel like he took a step in that department yesterday or in last game. So I think that's where the main source of frustration comes from with the many people who communicate with you guys, or since you said it's, you're not representing everybody with you is, yeah. I think all of that is where a lot of the frustration is coming from. And I'll let you respond to that. And then I believe you have to go after that. So we'll let you respond to it and we'll end it there.
Well, yeah, I will say yesterday was the first time that I watched him play and I thought, okay, this kid can like, he can score when he wants to. Like he looked good. And that, I think that was the first time where I was, like, I felt confident in watching him because, I mean, I know it's 23 games, but he looked very timid and almost scared for a lot of those games. And I know he's 19. I know he's – I mean, he's a kid. But, I mean, Isaiah Stewart is a kid too. And from day one, he came in and you could just see, like, I mean, he's the aggressor, and I know it's a different position. I know it's different, but like, I think he can improve with his aggression and his confidence, but just like shooting, I think he can improve there too, but I just don't think he's ever going to be an elite shooter. And I like, and this might be unfair, but I don't think he's going to be ever like the alpha dog on a team. You know what I mean? And I know you guys can make fun of me for saying X factor and whatnot, but it is a real thing, especially at the point guard position. You want your point guard to be, I'm not saying like look to score all the time, but, you know, be aggressive, score when it's appropriate, look to get others involved, which Killian's done a phenomenal job at. But I just, there's just a part of me that it's very early and I know there's time. And I trust me, I believe firmly that he can improve in this area. But just like shooting, he can improve, but he's never going to be an elite shooter. He might be a good shooter. And I think it's the same with this aggression that we're talking about. Like, I think he can get better, but I don't think he's going to be the alpha dog on a team. And I do want to say the Ricky Rubio comment, that was unfair. That was, I was backed in a corner. I was at that point, I was trying to just tick people off, you know? Cause it was me against the entire community, and it does get exhausting. And at some point, I just kind of decided to say something flippant that I knew would kind of get people going. So I do apologize for that.
No, yeah. So before I even say anything back to that, I tweeted this yesterday, and I do want to make this clear as well. I think I kind of said it on the podcast as well. You can disagree with these guys. You can disagree with anybody. But I'm not going to encourage, like, I feel like yesterday it got a little too far. People were getting a little too aggressive or too... I don't want anyone to feel like that they're not welcome in a community. And no matter how much we disagree and no matter how much I really disagree with some of you guys' takes, I'm not definitely not encouraging trying to make people feel unwanted in a community. So I'm not encouraging that no matter how much I disagree or whatever. I just want to make that very clear. But I think the main thing that we can leave this at, and I'm just going to leave this for food for thought. It's not really, I don't really want to argue about it, but it's just food for thought here, is that all that may be, like, you can have that opinion, but I believe that the way, it's kind of like this tweet. You had a tweet where I said that you were saying that people were putting words in your mouth. And I was like, well, if so many people are thinking that you're saying this, either one, you said it, two, you're insinuating things that it's saying that, or three, you said it. And by at a certain point where so many people feel like you're saying something, I feel like you have to at least like look back at yourself and be like, okay, what am I like putting off the wrong type of energy here? So, like, for example, I'll say this, like what you're saying with Killian and the whole he can only improve to be a good shooter. The thing is, like, you can, like I'm saying, you can have that opinion, but none of us know. Like, we really don't know. We've only had like 22 games. Legit. It's like, I know I keep saying that, but it's like, that's legit. Like, none of us know for real. Like, no matter what, like, the people who think he's going to be great, they don't know. The people who think he's going to be a bust, they don't know. And the people who think he's going to be the middle, no one knows anything about Killian. I feel like the biggest problem is that you guys are, or you with the account, everyone feels like you are tweeting or making too many takes that have a finality to it, when there is no way that anybody, no matter if you're high, low, mid on Killian, no matter what, there's nothing to, there's no way through 23 games you can have a finality to Killian Hayes. And I feel like that's the biggest issue people have, is that they feel like that you're putting a finality to his career when we really don't know, we seriously don't know anything about him. Really, to be honest, so far.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know how he's going to turn out. I'm just going off what I've seen, and it's a very small sample size, and it might be unfair. And as I said, he might turn out to be something special. I don't know. I'm just going off what I've seen so far, and I'm just trying to get to the point where, like, when I look at Pistons Twitter, not everyone, but I feel like a lot of people are just very high on him. Like, I'll admit I'm not at the moment. Yesterday helped me out a little bit, but everyone's very high on him. And it's kind of like how I'm low on him. It's just the polar opposite. And more people have the opinion that he's going to turn out to be something good or great. And that's a pretty widely accepted opinion on Pistons Twitter. And that's what I don't understand that yet. Like, I haven't seen anything from the 23 games that says, aside from yesterday again, that he's going to be a good/great point guard in the NBA. Like, and I know it's unfair to say he's going to be a bust, and I still don't necessarily believe that. I think he could be, a good point guard in the NBA. But I think so many people are high on him, and I haven't seen anything like Sadiq Bey, for example. I get why people are high on him. Like, he's coming to the NBA and he's lighted up. So, and Isaiah Stewart too. Like, you can just see it. Like, there's tangible reasons, like, to be high on them. And Killian, aside from the passing and he's made some great plays early on in his career. But aside from that, and aside from yesterday, nothing told me that, okay, like, I see why everyone is very high on him. And I'm not saying that I'm right. I could be, and as I said, I want to be wrong on him. I really do. Like, I cheer for him every night. And I know I get it. No one will believe me on that, but I'm a Pistons fan at the end of the day, and I want to win, and I want to win a championship one day. So that's where I'm at. But I don't get why through 22, 23 games, everyone is feeling great about him. And I'm just trying to, that's the part I don't get yet. Because you're right, I don't have a right to call him a bust, but I feel like a lot of people on the other side of the spectrum don't have a right to say he's going to be great and saying he's going to be better than Mike Conley or stuff like that. So it goes both ways. I just happen to be in the minority on this take. And I know it's negative, and I know people are sick of negativity, but nothing through the short sample size has led me to believe that he's going to be good/great. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Well, whether Drew stays on with us for this last segment, we'll see. But let me tell you about a few of our sponsors real quick. First one, your guys' favorite sponsor is Built Bar. The best tasting protein bar on the planet Earth comes with a variety of flavors, including 6 new flavors and caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. All flavors are covered in incredible tasting chocolate and are soft and easy on the teeth to chew. These bars are low in calorie and sugar, but are high in protein and fiber. A flavor I'd suggest is the peanut butter flavor. I absolutely love peanut butter, like I tell you guys all the time. It's packed with 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams net carbs. So go try the Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. And then let me tell you about another one of our sponsors, BetOnline AG. Betting is now legal in Michigan, and if you're anything like me, you want to take advantage of that instantly. However, there was one problem I constantly ran into. There's just so many different apps to bet through. Which betting app is the best to use? Which one is the best for me? That's when I found BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL season might be over, but the NBA, MLB, and NHL are all still in full swing. If you even want to take your adventures beyond sports, however, BetOnline has you covered there too. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, things I didn't even know you could bet on. BetOnline has real-time updated odds, props, and just about anything you can imagine. BetOnline is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to BetOnline now to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And like I said, we're going to continue, and we're going to end the podcast really talking about this and wrap this all up, and just so everyone gets like a clear mind. And like I said before, I don't want to encourage anybody to make people feel unwanted in the community. So no matter how you guys feel about what Drew's saying, if you guys disagree with them, I know there's a lot of you guys actually do agree with Drew. You guys always hit me up in my DMs. So I know there's a lot of you guys out there who actually think the same way as this. But for all of you guys who don't agree, I'm not encouraging the aggressive hating behavior. Like I said yesterday, I mess with the come up. I'm not going to hate on anybody's grind. I'm definitely not going to try to make people feel unwanted in the community. So no matter how much we disagree, I'm not going to encourage anyone to be aggressive about it. So I just don't do that no matter what, how you feel after listening to this. But I want to respond to something that you said.
Yeah, you got it.
But I just want to respond to something that you said about Killian and comparing him to the other rookies. So this is the problem and that I have, and the problem that many people have. And like I said, I'm going to keep reiterating this. I don't know how good Killian is going to be. Heck, I don't even know how good Stewart's going to be. I don't know how good Sadiq's going to be. But I think this is what people's problem is. And To be honest, I don't want to come off as disrespectful. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. But for me, it feels like a lack of – what's the word? I feel like it's a lack of analysis here because I'll explain why. I'm not trying to say that disrespectfully. It's just me being honest. I feel like it's a lack of analysis here, and this is why. So, like, with Isaiah Stewart, first of all, with anybody, everyone develops on different timelines. So, like, some players are going to be ahead of other players. Doesn't mean they're going to be better than them in the end. Just different people have different timelines. Just like development isn't linear. Some players will develop on a straight line. Some people will develop and take two steps back and then three steps forward. Like, nobody is the same, and no process is the same. Like, everyone's going to develop at different rates. People are going to be at different stages of their careers when they first come in. That doesn't mean we have an idea of who's going to be at the end point. So, for example, Sadiq Bey came into the league, and it was known that he was going to be – he had a high floor. People questioned his ceiling, but they said that he had a high floor. So him coming in and being decent off top, it wasn't really shocking anybody. Isaiah Stewart, he definitely shocked a lot of people with how he's – yes, yeah, and he's 22. Like, Isaiah Stewart come in, he has shocked a lot of people. I'll give you – like, that is 100%. But even with that, I don't think that Isaiah Stewart's success – should diminish Killian because Killian's not having the same type of success. I don't think that should be something that should be compared there. That's one. And two, I don't think if you're saying that you don't see the things that people that make people really high on Killian, I think that either one, you're trying not to see it, or two, you're just missing it. And I'll explain the things I'm seeing, and then you can take it and maybe you can watch it the rest of this year. And if you still disagree, you disagree. But I'm at least lay it out because I feel like I've had a lot of people say they just feel like you're missing it or purposely trying to miss it. Like on purpose to just basically, I'm going to be completely honest, to troll and to just like cause havoc in the community. So I'll point out like some of the things that we're seeing. And like I said, at the beginning of the season, I wasn't this big Killian stan. I don't consider myself a Killian stan. I feel like Killian has won me over. And that's like me just being honest. Mm-hmm. I was just as like worried about it at the beginning of the season, even though it was a small sample. I was worried myself. I just feel like Killian's won me over. And this is how he's won me over. One, the passing, like you mentioned, he's been an exceptional passer. There's no way anyone can with two eyes can watch Killian Hayes play and not think he's an exceptional passer. That's one. Two, he processes things really fast. Now, he gets himself caught sometimes because he's not aggressive. He's not as aggressive as you'd like him to be, which is something you've pointed out. But he processes reads really fast, which if you correlate that with his incredible passing ability, it's a great combination right there. That's two.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a really good defender.
Real quick.
Go ahead.
I just want to say I agree fully with that. And it's actually amazing the amount of times he gets shooters like wide open looks, not just like decent looks. Like he gets shooters like Frank Jackson, Sadiq, great looks. And it seems like whenever he's delivering the ball, like they seem to hit their shot. So I do see that. Like he's phenomenal at that.
Yes. And then last thing I just wanted to say, well, actually, I said he's really good defense, which you kind of said at the beginning as well. You pointed out that he was good on defense. But the things that I think that you're missing, or maybe, I mean, like I said, I don't want to be disrespectful. Maybe you're seeing it and you just don't think it's that special or nothing to really care about. We can disagree. I can disagree and say I just think that's off with analysis, but whatever. I'm going to at least lay it out. The thing with Killian is that you're right. With his aggressiveness, he needs to be more aggressive. That is something to critique him on this year. But the thing that should have people, and I've mentioned on the podcast before, some of you guys listening, you guys will understand what I'm saying, where I'm going with this. The thing about Killian, and I've done film breakdowns even on this too, on Twitter, at Cookie Hill NBA. I've done film breakdowns on this. Killian, the thing that makes you hype about Killian, or at least high on Killian, and makes you believe, is the fact that his handle, while he's not explosive, he's not like explosive like these extreme athletes, like you said, he has a really nice handle that's creative. He has a creative handle, and he's able to yank defenders around. And there's a lot of times that you see him get a step on a guy, he'll create an advantage for himself, either with an open shot, or you'll see him create an advantage for himself getting to the rim, but he's not aggressive, and he just doesn't take advantage of that advantage he created for himself. But the thing that people should be paying attention to, if you're like, at least in my opinion and a lot of people's opinion, the thing you should be paying attention to is that he gets the beginning part down pat. He got that part to the point where he has like this creative handle and this yin yang kind of handle and tight enough handle where he can break people down and give himself advantages. He just doesn't realize he has these advantages yet. And a lot of people like myself would point out after an offseason or even a year or two of playing in the NBA, imagine what happens once not only does he improve his shooting, but he realizes, okay, wait, I'm creating these advantages. I need to take advantage of these. Like, once, what happens once he starts taking advantage of these advantages? Now we're seeing him be more aggressive. Now he's able to do more. And I feel like that's something that you guys, or you, since you say, like, I'm sorry, I don't want to keep portraying whole Diallo in Detroit, but I feel like that's a lot. I feel like a lot of us are feeling like you are missing that part. I think that's the biggest thing, is that he is creating separation off the he does sometimes get his defender does stay with him sometimes on drives, but there are a ton of times where I've clipped it many times on Twitter where he gets a step on a guy or he creates an advantage for himself with a crossover behind the back move or something. He just doesn't take advantage of it because he's not aggressive. And a lot of us feel like that's something that you should look at and be like, okay, he has that base down. Once he gets aggressive and he realizes, oh, I have this advantage, who knows what could that unlock for himself? And I think we saw some of that yesterday. Yesterday, I think, was the first time we've actually seen him say, oh, God, okay, I realize I have this advantage off the pick and roll. This jumper is right wide open for me. Oh, I open up this step back. I have all this space. Let me shoot this. Oh, they're giving me this advantage. Like, he had one drive I mentioned on the podcast yesterday in transition. He gave a guy in and out at the three-point line and, semi-transition, got a step on him, and usually he would look to pass. He instantly hit into a second gear that I haven't seen him hit yet and finished with a left-hand layup over Nikola Vucevic. Like, I feel like he gave you those flashes of what can happen once he realizes those advantages. I'll let you respond. I rambled for a really long time.
No, you're good. Too,
but and I'll let you go ahead.
And I do see that. I see him get by people. And you mentioned that play against Vucevic yesterday. I don't – like, to this point, I haven't seen a lot of that. But that was a very encouraging play. But what I do see a lot of is he'll – that first step, he gets by the defender. And then – to this point, very early, 23 games, but to this point, he either has trouble fully committing to getting to the rim, and I think that comes with the aggression, or he can't get, he just doesn't have the, the explosiveness to get all the way there. And I don't know which one it is. I can't decipher if it's just, he's a little unsure of himself. He doesn't want to make a mistake. And if that's the case, that can be worked through. And that is something that, you said it, he has the base. And, you guys can believe me or not, but I played basketball my whole life. I do have a knowledge of the game. I see what you guys see. I see him get by the defender, good first step, and his handle is tight. But then after that, I don't know if it's the lack of aggression or if it's he just can't get there. And that's what I haven't seen a lot of him getting all the way to the hoop. And if that's just him being unsure of himself as a 19-year-old rookie, that's good because he can work that out. But if he can't get there and he has to settle for he does a lot of runners, off-balance runners. And the other thing is he really only – when he finishes, he only goes to his left. That's something that he does need to – he has to improve on that if he wants to become a better finisher. That's just that's a fact. He can't always go to the left, which he loves to do right now. But, you're right. The base is there. But I want to know that he can actually get to the rim consistently as opposed to, I'm a little unsure. I'm going to settle for this runner. I'm going to settle for the 17-footer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I think that's a perfect spot to end the podcast. I think this is a perfect spot for me to say that right there is completely fair. If you brought those expressions to, if that's what was your opinion, you expressed that, I don't feel like many people would have a problem. The problem that people are having, and you said it yourself, which is I get you said that Twitter's not the best place to debate, but I feel like you've really put yourself and Dialed in Detroit in a bad light here, because what you just said is completely fair, but then what you've shown on Twitter is that you have the finality of, you don't say those two things and be like if you would have said, okay, well, I don't know if it's him being unsure of himself. I don't know if it's him either being unsure of himself or having the lack of explosion. And then if you ended that with, it's only been 23 games, so we're going to have to find that out in the future to determine how good he's going to be, I don't think anybody would have a problem with you. But I think the problem that's being brought up with you is that you bring up the concern that you have, and then you cut it off right there, and then that's the finality that you've been given. Like you've been saying, he's not going to be good, he's not going to be this. When if you brought up those concerns, which are fair concerns, I've seen the same thing that you're talking about, but I'm at the opinion of, I see he has the base. Now I need to see, is it because he's not being aggressive, or is it because he just simply is not going to be able to have this explosiveness to get there? And I don't know that yet. We need to see more. I need to see more of him to know whether which one it is. That's why I'm still an open book through 22 games. And I feel like a lot of people are feeling like you're not open book through those games, and you're already putting a finality as, oh, he just doesn't have the explosives, but it's over. He's not going to be good.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure of that yet, but I see the finality on the other side from 90% of the community. Just my take happens to be on the opposite side of it. So it does go both ways. And when people are extremely high on him and say great things about him, no one bats an eye because it's positive. But I just still haven't seen something that tells me this is the guy that's going to lead our franchise for the next decade. And maybe it's okay if he's not. I still think he can carve out a good career for himself. But I'm not sure of him yet. And I think a lot of people are.
No, that's fine. I feel like there's a lot of, I don't feel like you understand that there are a lot of people that feel the same way. Like, I have a lot of listeners that are probably siding with you. I have them in my DMs. There are a lot of people who agree with you. I'm just saying that I feel like, just me trying to give you a piece of advice, I feel like that you should try to reword some of the things you say, and don't try to be as aggressive. Because I think someone said this to you as well under a tweet that we had. Positivity is always going to be met better. Negativity is not going to be met as well. And when people feel like that you're only speaking negativity, 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 especially over a team that hasn't really done much and finally seems to have a light at the end of the tunnel somewhat, people are not going to be as receptive to constantly hearing negative, 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 negative all the time.
Right.
So and I just feel like that maybe you should
I was going to say, you could look through my Twitter. There's tons of positive tweets about Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, Frank Jackson. There's a lot that I like on this team. Jeremy Grant, I know he's not really a part of the young core, but I like a lot. And I think Troy Weaver has done a phenomenal job. And no one seems to see any of those tweets get absolutely no traction at all. For whatever reason, if I say I'm not sure on Killian Hayes or I don't think he can be a top 10 point guard, then all hell breaks loose, which I get. Like, it's kind of a bad look to be that quick to judge a 19-year-old point guard who dealt with an injury. And I'll say it for the fifth time. I really hope this kid proves me wrong. I honestly hope we can look back at this podcast and look back at my tweets and say that kid is an idiot, because I cheer for him. I just, my point is, and I'm a Pistons fan at the end of the day, and I want to win. And I just still don't know if Killian's the guy. And I guess I'm trying to slow down the take that he is the guy, because if June comes around and we land Cade Cunningham, I think people are going to kind of forget about Killian. He's still going to be a part of the core, but like the point guard thing isn't going to be a discussion. Like, he's not going to be the point guard of the future. That's a big if, and that's a huge hypothetical, but like, I think people, like, if Cade comes along, it's the better thing, the new shiny toy that comes along.
That's fair. So we'll go ahead and end the podcast there. Is there anything else that you need to say that you feel like that you need to get out that you feel like you haven't been able to get out?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to say I'm sorry, because I don't enjoy the back and the bickering on Twitter with everyone in the community. It's tough. I don't enjoy it. I'm going to tone down the negative tweets, especially about Killian. You won't see nearly as many. If something is glaring, I'll point it out. But I'm going to tone that down. I'm going to tone down the negativity in general. I want to do better for the community, the Pistons Twitter community, because I don't want to be seen as a troll. I love basketball. I love the Pistons. And I don't want to be the evil person in the community.
100%. And I support that. Like I said, I'm not going to hate anyone's come up or anyone's grind. I wanted to give you your chance to come on here, because I know you felt like you were being misrepresented. So I hope you feel like you've gotten everything out and you have represented yourself and dialed in Detroit how you want them to be represented, and everyone will be able to listen to this and then come away however they feel. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you for being, absolutely.
So thank you guys for listening. If you guys haven't already, make sure you guys don't go down below and hit that subscribe and give me 5-star review. And tomorrow is Mailbag Wednesday. So like I said, if you give me that 5-star review and then put in the review a question for me or any kind of statement, I will answer it on Wednesday. So make sure you guys do that. Again, tomorrow is Mailbag Wednesday. Make sure you guys get you guys' questions in. I'll make sure to tweet about it as well. But once again, thank you for coming on. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I'll see you guys in my next podcast. I'll see you guys later.